In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Of late, I've tried to avoid driving at night. I don't enjoy it. It's a bit of a strain. I think it has to do with age. I just don't see as well as I used to at night. My eyes just aren't as sharp as they once were. Of course, it also might have to do with knowing my own mortality. Years ago, when I was immortal, it didn't bother me at all to be driving around 2 o'clock in the morning, or even all night. And then at some point, and I can't recall when, it occurred to me that it could just possibly be dangerous to be out in the middle of nowhere, all alone, at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so I avoid it. Well, actually, you can't avoid it. You can't always avoid it anyway. Sometimes there are delays. Sometimes there are problems, things generally that you can't really foresee or control that cause you to be on the road at night, in the middle of nowhere, in the dark. It really is dark out there in Georgia. Have you ever noticed that in the center of the state there appears to be a large vacant space? It's all sand and scrubby little pine trees, and I guess you can't farm it, so there's no real incentive to live out there. It's empty. You can drive forever, it seems, in the darkness, and it gets a little spooky after a while. I imagine you've been there too. If you have been there, you know how absolutely wonderful it is to see any kind of light in that darkness. And you do, little pinpoints of light off in the distance. I'm honestly not sure what they are. I guess they could be houses or barns or garages. I honestly don't care what they are. The important thing is to know that I'm not alone out there, that I'm not alone in the dark, that someone else is there. And that if I really were in trouble and really needed help, I might be able to go to that light. If I did go to that light, what would I find? I have no idea. And that's where faith comes in. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. Let's agree that life is a road. That's an old and perhaps overused metaphor, but it is a road. Because we start down there at point A, which is birth, and we end up over here at point Z, which at least for this dimension is death, and we log all these miles in between. Sometimes the going is really good. The smooth, straight road, the lovely sunshine, fleecy little clouds, bluebirds. Really nice. Life is great. But then, let's be honest. There are times when the going is absolutely awful. This road we're on twists and turns, and it's dark, and you've been delayed, and your plans haven't worked out, and your windshield is covered with love bugs, and you can't see ahead of yourself. You can't see where you're going. You know what it's like. What's the light in that kind of road? What's the light in that kind of darkness? Today we're talking about the Transfiguration. The story is that Jesus takes three of his closest disciples and goes up a mountain to pray. And what do they encounter there? Well, first they encounter Moses and Elijah, and somehow they know them. Why Moses and Elijah? Well, Moses represents all the law, and Elijah represents all of the prophets. Moses and Elijah have come to confront God at some point. they treat Jesus as an equal, and they confer. Then a cloud comes, and the cloud is God. It's called the Shekinah. It's called the glory. Consistently in Scripture, it describes the presence of God, and it's there on that mountain, and it descends upon them. And when it lifts, Moses and Elijah are gone. Jesus is transfigured. The cloud has come, it rested upon him, it pervades him, it fills him. His garments shine like the light, and his face beams like the light. It's within him. You know, Moses had a similar experience centuries before encountering God on the top of a mountain, and he received what we would call the Ten Commandments, God's instructions for how we're supposed to live this life. But Moses reflected God. His face shone because he'd been near God. But Moses did not shine like Jesus. And Elijah, of course, went to heaven directly in a flaming chariot and horses of fire, which is probably fairly light itself. But he didn't absorb God. He'd been near God. Jesus is the light. Not just then. Jesus is the light here today for us. Jesus is the light in this darkness, yours and mine, whatever it is, whatever it might be, whatever we feel is darkness in our lives, he is there. He is the one, the only one, who can draw this world and draw us out of darkness. There has to be a light. Can you imagine a world without light? Can you imagine a world of perpetual darkness where there is no flicker of compassion? A world in which there is no glimmer of reason? A world in which there is no spark of love? We must have light to live. We must know that we're not alone. We must have that light to show us two things. One, that we're not alone. And two, that this road, this journey has an end, has a goal. We need a light to tell us that after all the darkness is done, there will be a new day. There will be a fresh dawn. In his holy name.